Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to may have adult language and discuss adult themes not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.
Oh, Benchwarmers, it's so good to be back.
Happy New Year, everybody. I haven't talked to you all in a year.
It's
crazy.
It's been a minute, right? It's been a minute. It's been a year. Is it still okay to say Happy New Year, even though we're 10 days into the new year, 15 days? Who really cares? It's first time that we're coming at you guys. Super happy to be back. I know it was nice. I will say the cruise was... It was as good as I expected it was going to be. It was really awesome. I really enjoyed Curaçao. We went to Curaçao, Aruba. We were going to a lot of different, just those like ABC islands. And then we ended up going to Haiti, which had, I don't know, maybe I'll let you decide if you want to hear the story. Do you want to hear how I was almost swindled out of like all of my money because there was very little security on the island of Haiti?
Oh, I don't doubt it. I've been on a cruise. I don't know if I was in Haiti or I was in Puerto Rico or one of the two. And I remember hearing stories about all that too. So I look, if you tell a story at all, like I won't deny it at all. Cause I 100% will believe it. Like
I have my cousin. So it was my cousin and I, we were kind of just exploring a little bit. It's hot. I was working on my tan. And we walk up and we're coming up on like the end of the trail, and the end of the trail has a Royal Caribbean gift shop. Cool. I want to go there. I want to pick up something. I'm sure that they have a card reader machine because I didn't bring cash on the off chance. Hey, I might get mugged. But we're walking through and there's like locals hanging out. There's one police officer, I don't know if many people know this about Haiti. There's 12 million people who live on the island. They have a total of 1,200 police officers to be able to control all 12 million people. But they pull us off to the side. Oh, you don't want to go to the shops, man. You go to the shops, it goes straight to the boat. We don't get anything. We don't get any money. Come back to the hut shops. Walk off the trail, come back here. I figure I'm just going to say yes as many times as this situation is going to get me out of it. I just want to get out of it. I want a chance to break free without having to get violent. That's what I don't want to happen because I know – who's going to get singled out in Haiti? The two white Italian guys. So we go back, puts all this stuff in the bag. He's trying to give me Venmo. They're looking at screenshots of Venmo accounts. It's not an actual Venmo app, and there's no cell service on the island. So they have to try and connect your phone to their iPhone, and it's a whole mess. Oh, it doesn't go through. It wasn't working. It was a red flag. I ended up not having to pay any money because I somehow talked to them. Like, I told them, okay, well, if you want me to pay cash, I have to go back to the boat and go to the ATM.
I gotta go back. Yeah, that's the best thing you do.
And they let me walk away with the stuff. Like a five-figure discount on everything. I could probably tell your experience in Haiti. I'm finding this little shot glass.
I don't remember if I was in Haiti. I think I was in the Dominican Republic, or I might have been in Puerto Rico, one of the two, when I went on the cruise. But yeah, look, there's one thing you should learn when you go to these not as nice and not as well done countries as obviously America and in Europe and all those types of countries that you normally would be safe around. We go to places that you're very not familiar with. Yeah, I've seen those before. Yeah, with your name on it. I've never, you know, makes sense. Well, but look, you go to these things and you see all these vendors. There's 50 vendors all standing right as you get off the
boat.
They're
like a pack of wild dogs. Trip to the beach.
It's like going to the mall, but every single mall vendor is asking you if you want to try their perfume. That's that on drugs is all I'm going to say if you've never experienced it. And you look, it is important, and I've learned this the hard way because my mother got stuck in the Vegas mall one time for 2 hours. We're like, where'd mom go? I was like, oh, she's at the perfume shop, and she was still there for 2 hours. And we had to finally be like, we're leaving, and had to drag her out of there because my mom's so nice, she felt so bad because the guy was giving her compliments being nice. And that's what they do. They don't give a fuck about you. It's oh, you look so pretty. Here's some more makeup.
He called me boss. I was his boss for the. This is my boss Jimmy for the day. This is my boss Jimmy.
It's ridiculous.
And they work in the, it was a pack. I don't want to sound bad, but it was like a pack because two of them led us, and then as the two of them are walking in front of us, like three or four more circle in behind my cousin and I.
So, and I'm not blaming you, but you gotta go in packs of four if you're wandering. Yeah. You have to go in packs of four when you're wandering because if you're two and another, it's a lot easier for people to take advantage. But if you're in a pack of three or four people where you're all pretty big, like I said, your family is strong, muscular, like people you look at and you're like, I don't want to fucking pick a fight with them, okay? That's plain and simple. Let's put it that way, okay? Oh, that's geez. The people you look at the ball and be like, I'm not fucking with you, okay? That's how your family is. That's how my family is. Yeah. And you go in packs of three or four, and you know that you have the numbers automatically. You have the numbers, you're going to win everything. It doesn't matter if it's a bargaining person or whatever. They see your family, they don't want to fuck with you because they know you'll probably fuck with them, and then you'll be fine. That was probably your biggest mistake, is all I'll say.
Well, my parents went, my mom, my dad, and then my brother Ed and my sister went out in a group of four, and they got – these guys were sharks. They were separating you. Like, oh, I don't know when he's coming back. I will say the last story, and then I'll move on from the Labadee fishing village in Haiti. He's carving my name into it. Okay, how do you spell that? J? Yes. J as in Jesus? Yes. J as in Jesus, I guess. I as in ice cream? Yes. I as in ice cream. Good. Okay, I got this. M as in Mary, because I figured Jesus, Mary. He goes, M, like motherfucker. That one worked too.
I'll tell a story. I had that same cup, or I don't know if it was either a cup or a shot glass or something, and a guy started carving my name into it. I didn't buy it. I walked away without it. The dude was not happy. He was not happy at all.
Oh, think this guy feels that I got the five-finger discount on $150 worth of his – well, he said it was $150 worth of his stuff.
Yeah, no shot. Fucking $5 at the fucking local Walmart. But motherfucker, I mean, like, it was funny. It was very. I laughed when I was out because he heard my name. I think my brother or my mom or dad said my name, whatever. So, oh, Nico, right? And I'm like, where's this going? And the guy writes my name in the cup. I was like, no, I'm good. He's like, your name. I'm like, I know. Good luck finding someone else with the same name. Bye. It's literally because look, Jimmy, John, Joe, James, Nick, you can fucking salvage it. Nico, there's not many people you can salvage that one for.
No, that is correct. What did you guys do? So I know that you went. How was the trip up to the mountain over the break?
As the rest of the country and the. We'll attest to this. It's freezing outside. I think it's the first time I've worn a beanie on the show in fucking 167 episodes, and that just tells you how cold it is here. But yeah, Christmas Day skiing was freezing. It was 9 degrees outside. Felt like -3 is what my app said. I think I got 20,000 elevation though in one day, and then I went the next day after and I got another 20,000. It's a hell of a 2 days. The second day was much, much better. But yeah, the snowboarding was fun. It was a great time. It was, I mean, like I said, it's always it's funny when you go up to the mountains this time of the year, especially the holidays, because look, English is not the number one speaking language. Because you go up to Vail, it's gonna be Brazilians, it's gonna be Argentinians, it's gonna be Europeans, whatever you want.
A lot
want
of people with a lot there. Of money to spend, because that's all Vail is. If you don't know Vail, it's just where you spend your money goes gone. You can get a burger for $14 at McDonald's. The dollar menu is actually the $14 menu in Vail.
That's putting it easy, Jimmy. I bought a fucking breakfast sandwich for $25, and it was something I'd get at a fucking 9-cent bagel. That would probably be way better. Sometimes it happens like that, but that's what you get when you have expensive hobbies. Unfortunately, like my family.
Yeah, you guys and tennis and golf. Not the sports that I was never a skier. My dad never, my parents never did it. So I did not get indoctrinated into the lifestyle. I have a teacher that is on our team. Our science teacher busted up his knee. Said he went into a corner.
Oh, my dad broke something in his hand. He ate it the first hand, and now his hand hasn't been feeling right the past like month. So
that's the thing about skiing and snowboarding. You never get hurt, right? You never get catastrophically hurt or like concussed or anything. It's totally
maybe if you're 10 to 20 years old, after that, shit starts hurting a lot more. I'll tell you that.
I had one hurt. We were talking about it. She's like, yeah, I fell down and somebody just went over me. What? Yeah. They couldn't move around me. They just, right. Did you give them a boost? What?
There's a famous story in my family over, I think it was either Christmas or New Year's when I was like early 2010s, and my whole family went up, and Preston, my second oldest brother, was sitting at the top of like the top part of a run to go into the jumps, like to go off the jumps and park and everything. And he's sitting there, and my oldest brother and I are sitting there like about 100 feet back or so. And we watch this guy jump over my brother and jib off his head with the snowboard and break his glasses. And it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. I will never forget it. And I cried. I kid you not, cried laughing at him as he yelled at me, why the fuck did you not follow him? I was like, dude, you just had someone jump over you and jib off your head.
You think we're going to do anything to that guy? That guy's mission impossible.
Like, we're not catching up to him.
Like, I'm not taking down Jack Reacher. Hell no. Go get him yourself.
Red Gerard, screw that. I'm not dealing with that. Go ahead, let him have fun. We'll laugh at you. You're fine.
If those glasses mean that much to you, you could go test Captain America over there. But I'm going to stay over here where it's safe, and I know I'm not going to get hurt.
Exactly. And we're going to laugh our asses off at you at the same time.
That's what brothers are there for. You got to fight your own battles sometimes. Let's go ahead and talk about some of the things that we have to catch up on. It's been a while, and it was hard because I wasn't able to do a majority of the beginning of bowl season. Had Dom on, had Jeremy on. Dom is trying to defend his title. I will say, not giving anything away yet, because Nico doesn't even know, so he's not sure who I'm.
I think say. Before I'll get out in front of it. I think I did very good. I think if anything fucked me, it was Florida State or Ohio State. Those were the two.
Florida State was bad.
Florida State was very, very, very bad. That would have just fucking ended me. I thought a team would have a little bit of heart, but they had none of it. It's even funnier now because, I mean, we'll obviously probably get into the Saban stuff here in a little bit. But Norvell, Mike Norvell, the guy from Florida State, is now the odds-on favorite to be the new Alabama head coach after Alabama took his spot in the Final Four. And they have that 63-3 or whatever the hell it was showing. Yeah,
it was a shit-kicking. If
anything was going to kill me, it probably was that or Ohio State, Missouri. I should have guessed they didn't have a fun quarterback then. I thought they'd be better than that, but probably not.
Here's the thing. It's changing hands. Dom is not going to be a four-time champion. We'll have to get the crown. I'll have to pry the crown and the belt away from his cold, dead hands.
I got the national championship, right? I got the Final Four.
Nico,
right?
You won. This is your year for college sports because you won March Madness last year. Holy cow. And you are the 2024 FEOTB Bowl Pick'em Champion.
What was my final record? Because I remember keeping track of the beginning of the couple of games. I was like, I picked that one right. Did I miss two? I think I probably three or four.
You were 7-2 because we picked 9 games.
7-2, so those are the only two I missed?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. I mean, look, I went with my heart and I went with what was going to win me it all in the last couple of years. I went with what my heart was telling me, and I said, you know what, let's be logical here, and I won money off of it, and I also won the crown finally, so I don't have a championship belt like Dom has Cody Rhodes's thing or something.
Oh, you're going to get it. I'm going to steal it.
I feel bad for that because that thing
is crossface.
I'll find something else to wrap around my head. Or wrap around my chest next year when we do it, but yeah, thank you.
We should definitely trade the crown back and forth.
Yeah, the I could find a crown or something. That should be easily attainable. But yeah, look, I mean, you spoiled it. I definitely feel like I definitely lost the NFL pick'em, so I'm glad I was able to get this one under my belt because, like I said, I've been watching a lot of college sports. And look, I don't watch a ton of college football outside of, or especially when it comes to bowl season. I watch the main games. I watch the national title, the Final Four, the important ones, but I don't watch the. I don't watch Tulane on a Tuesday night like Jimmy over here. Okay, I'm not hand up that guy. I'm the guy who has GCU versus Arizona Christian on in the background for college basketball because my Lopes are playing and we've only had one loss of the season. World so that's just
hockey.
Where we're at.
I have Toronto and New York on right now. I'm watching some hockey.
It's dark season. We're recording and we're live on Thursday.
Football.
There's no NFL.
Football.
Unfortunate.
Nico, but the Bengals finished the eight, which means if they win one of their last two before the Browns game, they're in. don't even have to win it anymore. Before we get into the NFL, what do you got?
Well, yeah, and before like I said, well, I'll talk about moving in the NFL, but the Broncos beat the Patriots and the Raiders that weren't probably in the playoffs too. So interesting how things change quickly and literally a 3-week span of when we don't record. It's very, very funny.
There's a lot that's changed. So we got to get to it. But first, elephant in the room, pun intended, Nick Saban, the greatest college football coach of all time, decided to step down. He is no longer going to be the head coach at Alabama. Alabama's job is open for the first time since 2008, I want to say. Yeah, 2008.
Eight or seven, one or two, yeah. But
2008, and then 2009 was the first season that he had. It's the ending of an era. There's never been really that level of dominance for that long when the sport was this good, because you have like the old school records where Michigan was playing like Harvard and Dartmouth Medical School and Union A, B, 26, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So this is like a contemporary, that's a dynasty that you don't get when you play NCAA. That's like, oh, I got bored. We say it all the time. I got bored. I had to turn it all the way up to Heisman just to give myself a little bit of a challenge. Nick Saban had done that. And then he just continued to break his own records. And I think, you know, the last few years, it's been the surprise runs for him that have kind of pushed him to what else is he going to do? I think he's had this part of the dynasty where you're expected to win. Like, you're able to build yourself into the powerhouse. You upset Tim Tebow in Florida, and that starts your run. And you have those expected national championships. And then you have the years where we show up and, oh, what are they going to do? And they're just the best team on the field. Like, they mopped the floor with Notre Dame. They mopped the floor with Michigan. They mopped the floor with whomever, Michigan State. They had so many different levels of their dynasty, and they had like different runs within that same 20, you know, 13 year, however long it's been dynasty.
It's 16 years, right? 24 to 2008, if that year is correctly. 16, 17, whatever years, of just straight fear being put into opponents' heads when they see the scripted A come across the field. 16 years of fear. There's reasons why like I said, if you're playing for a national championship and you saw Alabama across the field from you, you were the underdog. It did not matter who you had. Joe Burrow and those great LSU teams, they were the underdog. Clemson, Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, underdogs. Still, they may have beat them, but they were still the underdogs, because that's what Nick Saban put into these people's heads. It was, if you're not – look, there's a certain mold of a player and a talent to play in the crimson and white, and then Nick Saban personified it better than anybody. Like I said, 16 years of just pure dominance, pure fear into every single team in the SEC, every single team that they play in the bowl season as well. When 9 times out of 10, it was the foreign national championship or at least the Final Four. Like I said, look, the statistic that was very, very glaring is if a player at Alabama played for four years at Alabama, you won a national championship. If a player played for Alabama for more than 2 years, at least two years, they won an SEC championship. That means if you walked into that program at any point in the last 16 years and at least lasted a full calendar year and a half, you have a ring. You have a ring, Jimmy. We had an episode with Charlie, and shout out Charlie. He has a wedding coming up in February, but and unfortunately we weren't able to release it because of other circumstances. But and he came on and personified. It's like when you come in Alabama and you don't win an SEC championship, you don't win a national championship. It's a bad year. It's a bad year, right? Teams like Michigan, who's won the first national championship since, what was it, 1960-something? Ohio State, good every year, not terrible. LSU won two national championships in the last 20 years. Like, that's huge moments for those programs. Huge moments for those programs. Alabama, that's an off year. It's a different set of standard that he brought in. Like I said, I don't think it'll ever be replicated again. And obviously, maybe that'll happen long time from now. But Alabama is not the same program without him, right? You look, plain and simple, you saw some of the players, including Marlon Humphrey, who I know you're not a fan of. But he came out and tweeted, if the moment I found out Saban was retiring, I'm putting myself in the portal. And look, Alabama ain't for the kind-hearted, okay? If you go to that school, if you're smart, or your parents are rich, and that's about it, or you're really good at football, that's about it. That is about it. And look, I don't know if whoever steps in next for them can sustain it, but you'll never be able to live up to it. And the most important thing is for the next guy, whether it be, and look, in my opinion, I called this when we started this show, right? I think it's Dabo Swinney. I think it's Dabo Swinney, and who went to Alabama, won national championship at Alabama in the 1990s.
In the late 1900s, like when we were born?
With Paul Bear Brown, and then Bear Bryant, excuse me. And then, or I think it's going to be Lane Kiffin, who's obviously got a lot of Alabama tests too, and at Ole Miss. I think those are the top two. But look, neither of them are going to be able to live up to the hype or the aura of Nick Saban. They shouldn't. They should come in with the attitude of being like, you know what? He's done what he's done, but it's time for a new regime. It's time to figure things out, because the last thing you can do is live up to the GOAT. Plain and simple. Mm-hmm. That's what the Patriots have tried to do ever since Tom Brady left.
There's got to be something different. Like, totally different.
It has to be something different, and it has to be something new. And yes, you just got into the Final Four. Yes, you're coming off the SEC championship. But obviously, the other teams in the country have picked it up steam, right? Teams have picked up steam. Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, you have Washington, other teams that have not really been in the title picture, especially when it was Alabama versus Clemson, Alabama versus Clemson, Alabama versus Clemson for years there. Things are changing very, very quickly. Things are changing. So it's time to figure things out. And that's a kudos to the NIL.
Yeah. It's kudos to the NIL. And I don't know about you, but the holidays were, even on that cruise where we could only watch games if we traveled all the way up to the 16th deck to be able to sit at the sports bar, it was a topic that was brought up quite a bit with NIL, transfer portal, killing the sport, it's killing the sport. I'm not going to name names, not going to say who, but it was a member of my family that I had to go toes with. We were going bodies, just like, it's killing the sport. How is it killing the sport if it's the best the sport's ever been? Like, ever. And Michigan, this is a good way to transition into that national championship game and the game against Alabama, because we haven't had an episode to talk about either of those two. That team is the most calm. If you were to pick out a college football team and say they have a professional demeanor about them, it would be Michigan, because no matter what the adversity was all season, whether Harbaugh was on the sidelines, whether he wasn't, they would take the information that was presented to them, be able to internalize it, and then turn it into what they needed. And they didn't have to play anybody else's game. And it put them – like they developed the hell out of some of those players. Like Donovan Edwards on that first touchdown run in the national championship was untouchable. Blake Corum, the entire season, new record for touchdowns, rushing touchdowns in a season for the NCAA. Dude is a dog. And J.J. McCarthy doesn't necessarily wow you for the entire game, but he makes like three or four cool, calm plays, runs for a first down. You're like, oh, shit, yeah, J.J.'s pretty good. J.J. is offensive player of the game. Really? Okay. And I mean, Michigan Wolverines, what can you say? They are – 2024 national champions, best team in college football.
And then look, people can argue maybe Georgia was a better team. No, I think Michigan beat who they needed to at the time that they needed to. Right, you beat Washington, who was the only other undefeated team left, basically. I believe, I'm not sure outside of the top.
No, there was it, because Florida State was the only
other. That's right, Florida State was the only one. But the
Liberty only got left, shit kicked by Oregon.
That's true. Yeah. So like there was the only undefeated team left, and Washington had a guy that probably should have won the Heisman, and they made him look terrible, plain and simple. They made him look
like – the defensive line is the best that I've seen in 4 years.
And it's very, very funny, because the right tackle for Washington, number – I think it was 76, maybe it was 73. I don't know who it was. Yeah, 73. Did you know where you went to high school, Jimmy? Valor Christian. No. He went to Valor Christian, funny enough. So he is a Colorado kid, which is – Add salt to the wound for us Colorado people, but if you know Jimmy and I, how we're Creek boys, we hate Valor. So kind of funny. I don't hate that at all. But yeah,
Reese Atterbury is at Michigan still. He was on the PAT team. He's a Colorado guy. Eagle Crest High School.
Gunnar Helm was the tight end. He was the number one tight end for Texas too, and he had some big time touchdowns, especially in that Red River rivalry game too. So like I said, Colorado has the touches ever, but it was very, very funny how much they manhandled it, and it's sad because look, I had a lot of faith in this Washington team. They were very, very discounted all year, and they faced the number best team in the country. That was the unfortunate part about it. They were one of the two best teams in the country. I have zero doubt about that. They just weren't the best. And that just shows to the kudos of what Michigan built throughout the whole season. Like I said, you hit the nail on the head. Like, a team was just calm and just knew what they needed to do. And after what happened last year, where They lost a colossal first round loss in the playoff, losing to TCU last year, right? TCU gets their ass kicked in the national championship, where I didn't even watch the game last year because of how bad it was, because it was 60-something the fucking 10.
The game I turned it off halfway through the second quarter.
It was a horrendous game, and Michigan looked at it like, you know, we could have made that game. We could have beat them. Who never knows? But when Michigan had their chance this year, they didn't. Look, like I said, they almost fucked it up when losing to Alabama, but their defense stood tall, and they held them strong. And then when they got their chance in the Natty, they just said, no, this is ours to win. This is not ours to lose. This is our championship to win. And Washington was playing like our championship to lose, unfortunately. And Michigan was the much, much better team.
Well, they didn't have any of the luck that they had had all season. Washington had been in a lot of tight games, and it was a close game for a second, but the holding penalty on the big pass play kind of like took the wind out of the sails. And Michigan, I compared them to a boa constrictor, where like they just squeeze and all of a sudden you just sit there for a little bit longer and it's tighter. And then you look up at like 450 left in the fourth quarter. They've rushed for 300 yards on you and they're up by 21 points. You're like, what the hell just happened? How am I getting, I'm suffocated right now. I haven't touched the ball yet. I haven't even, I want to say this
very slow too.
Yeah, it was not. It didn't.
It was a slow burn. And it felt like Washington was in the game the whole time, but in reality, it was kind of just like, all right, when is Michigan?
They were never. They never looked like they got into a rhythm. They were never in control, and that's what you were saying. Like the defensive line allowed them to play zone behind Michael Penix, and Michael Penix had to struggle. He can read zones, but he had to read them on the fly because the defensive line was getting there so quick. And I love the Washington offensive line. I thought that they handled Texas, who up until this point I thought was the best defensive line in the country. They handled them like nothing in that semifinal game. Like they're the Joe Moore Award winning offensive line. That means they're the best offensive line unit in the country. And Michigan's defensive line did everything they wanted to them. Absolutely. Pass rush, run stuffing. It was nice to see because that nose guard 55 is a former high school wrestler, and he was showing off his wrestling moves, go behinds, getting in the backfield. But Michigan doesn't miss tackles. Michigan's almost always in the right coverage. If you're going to get lucky against them, it's going to be one time. And if you don't convert when you get lucky, if you're Michael Penix and you miss a receiver, if you're that right tackle and you have a holding penalty on a 35-yard pass and you wipe that out for yourself, you just added to the squeeze. That's all you did. You just literally cut your arm off. Why would you do that?
It's like cutting the head off a hydro. You cut one off, three more grow back. That's really what it was. And you thought you'd be able to stop Blake Corum. Oh, fuck. Well, here comes the quote-unquote backup running back, Donovan Edwards, coming in for two tutties. And you didn't even think about him and how badly he beat you. Like, it was next man up. It was next man up. And that's how the whole team was built. And like I said, the big question right now for this Michigan team is it sustainable? And is Harbaugh still going to be in that maize and blue or maize and yellow, whatever the hell it is? Whatever. Maize and blue, maize and blue next year. And that's the big question going into this offseason for them. But who the fuck cares, because you're a national champion? And that's all that matters to them.
Okay. So then let's address the elephant in the room. Again, that one wasn't really intended, but people are going to say that this title should be vacated, that this one doesn't mean anything because of everything that happened during the season. What's your opinion? I think people are pretty easy to figure out what my opinion is on it, but I want you to have a chance to say something, because I think that it's a dumb argument, and I think that we're going to be on the same page, but there's no way you can discredit what you
– It's funny because I saw some people comparing this to the Houston Astros sign stealing. It is fucking way different, is all I'm going to say. Everybody, and I mean everybody in college football, looks at the opposing sideline. That's just a thing that happens, okay? Like you don't – if you don't look across at all, you're staring across the field. You have 100 – not 100, but 50-some-odd guys on a sideline staring at the other sideline. You don't think at some point they like, oh, let's see what that hand signal means and try to figure it out? You don't think that everybody's trying to do that? And look, the NFL doesn't have to worry about this because everything's called into a helmet. I don't understand why college football doesn't have that yet. I think that they'll mold it eventually. But this is way different than the Astros banging trash cans fastballs. You may know what the offensive scheme may look like. You may know what the defense will have to look like. But it's way different trying to figure out how to beat it than it is to be like, you know what? Like this is how we need to do it. We need to do things to be successful. And look, is it a stain on the championship? Slightly, yes. But in the long scheme of things, everybody and their mother have done this. We did this, Jimmy, as fucking little leaguers.
Yeah, we did.
Coach Ken, we went to fucking little league opponents playoff games. I stood there, and I don't know if you were on the team yet, but it was whatever it was. And we sat there and watched a playoff game, and Coach Ken was like, look at their defense, look what they're running, look what they're doing. And we were just watching things of how teams do things. And look, it's not fucking illegal to do it then. Why should it be illegal to do that now? We live in 2024, Jimmy. How in the world does the second biggest football in the United States of America, and yes, I guess I get the UFLs around, but college football is the second biggest league of football in the country, let alone the world. And how do you not put a mic in the middle linebacker's helmet and put a headphone and a mic in the QB's helmet and just do it that way?
Like the schools want to continue to say that it's too expensive because it gives them the ability to use other things so that they have to use signs. Because if you start putting mics in helmets, then you don't have the big cards on the sidelines, and coaches are like too afraid to say, no, we actually do all look at the signs. I mean, when I came back from
the hospital, would you rather your signs get sold, or would you rather talk to a guy in a helmet and pay a couple $100 in a helmet?
It should be a choice. I don't know why everybody has to or doesn't have to adopt it. Fair play, but if you don't want to do it, then I guess you don't have to do it. But I don't know.
I saw the commercial. I think it was either a national championship or it was one of the NFL games where
they had it all throughout the playoffs.
They were showing the new helmets with the technology for the deaf, for individuals that are deaf, and I was like, wow, that is so incredible. So incredible. We are finding new technologies every fucking day, and sports can use it. And look, baseball and umpires and the robotic umpires, that takes away from the game. Putting a fucking headphone calling a play in to a quarterback takes nothing away. Takes nothing away. Absolutely nothing away. So
it takes away my competitive advantage if I use Connor Stallion. I don't care if my signs get stolen, because if you know what I'm running or not, if I'm good at it, if good enough at it, it doesn't matter. I will say too, Michigan played nobody before we discovered that they were stealing signs. Then they played four top 10 teams in consecutive weeks and beat them all beat them all up. They beat the crap out of Alabama. Jalen Milroe did not want to play football at the end of that game. They beat the crap out of Washington. Michael Penix Jr. I don't want to be one of those people. I'm not one of those people that is totally tanking his draft stock after one game. I mean, everybody can struggle, and Michigan had this was Jim Harbaugh's. This was everything to Jim Harbaugh, because now he can go back to the NFL, and if he wins a Super Bowl, then he looks across at John and goes, "I have a Super Bowl and a national championship. I'm better than you."
Jim doesn't have a Super Bowl.
No, I know. That's what I mean. He's going to go back to the NFL. When he wins, he's going to sit at the Thanksgiving table and spit on his brother and say, "Ha, I have both."
The only problem is it has to be the right situation because he has to be in the.
Oh, you don't think that he can work anywhere?
Look, first of all, he's not going to go to fucking Las Vegas. I'll tell you that right now. Like, I think he'd rather just fucking stay in Michigan. Yeah. He'd rather stay in Ann Arbor, Michigan than go to Vegas. The Bears job probably would have been the one that'd be like, you know what, I can go coach where I played again and go have a chance to build something there with Justin Fields, Marvin Harrison Jr., possibly DJ Moore with a good up-and-coming team, but they're not getting rid of Eberflus. You don't want to go to fucking Carolina because Carolina's already a shit show. I mean, what are the other coaches? Tennessee doesn't want anything right now either. New England, maybe? I don't know.
Tennessee fired Vrabel.
Tennessee fired Vrabel. It's
open. I mean,
it's open, but I just don't think that that'd be more appealing. I think the only appealing place, and it's weird saying this, would be New England because the aura of New England, and because I don't think he'd leave anywhere else besides there. And look, maybe you could have an argument for the Chargers. That's the only one I could see. But I think he's already way past that, and like I said, he loves being a Michigan man. He loves having that yellow M on his hat. Like, look, the Broncos gave Broncos. It's funny because the Broncos interviewed him last year, right? They interviewed him, and I don't. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that if Harbaugh was the coach for the Broncos this year, we were immensely better, or we would have been immensely worse. There's no telling what could have been. But you look at what Sean Payton got, and just comparing contracts, and Jim Harbaugh will demand more. Plain and simple, he will demand more, and. I think Harbaugh's current contract is $15 million per year, somewhere around there in Michigan. And Sean Payton currently sits at $20 million a year for the Denver Broncos, and that's what Walter Penner Group is. So if you're an NFL owner, you have to pay, and in my opinion, I think I've heard good sources say this, you have to pay Jim Harbaugh $30 million a year to consent to pry him away from Michigan. And I know the Chargers ain't doing that. Panthers.
That's way too much to invest in a coach anyways.
You're exactly right. But that's probably what you have to do is to pry him away from winning a national championship. And look, would you pay $30 million for him? I probably wouldn't. But then again, it doesn't go against the cap. Who the fuck cares? It's an owner trying to fix things. So who knows, right? Like, if you're a desperate owner like Tepper is after he threw a drink on the Jaguars fans, like, if you're desperate, why the hell would you not? Because this is your project. This is what you're putting out. And if you're that desperate, then why not? And like I said, those millionaires, those owners are billionaires, right? They have stupid money. $30 million, you want cash or you want credit. Like, it's that easy for them, okay, every single year. So I don't doubt someone would do that. I just don't think that team would be willing to or will be able to pry him away.
There's more openings than I think we were all anticipating. We'll talk about the NFL openings when we get to that. Wrapping up college football, we are moving into the playoff system next year. It's going to be so much better because just look at the Ohio State game, look at the Ole Miss game, look at Florida State. When they don't have anything associated or don't have anything to play for, nobody will play, and the games are just awful. Not that I'm not sitting there watching all of the bowl games. I couldn't this year, but I would have watched as many as I could. It's not there. So this playoff system is going to be better. And
college football is changing, Jimmy, massively. Big 12 is not as strong. Pac-12 is gone. You have the SEC, the California schools back in the Big Ten, Texas, Oklahoma, and the SEC. Things are going to massively change next year. This is going to be a different style of college football that we've never seen before. And I'm very, very confident in that. And look, and I hate to be a homer here, and I don't have a college football team, but I find it very, very hard to believe that CU doesn't believe that they have a chance to make the playoff next year. If there's 12 teams here and you have a Big 12 that doesn't have Oklahoma anymore, that doesn't have Texas anymore, whose best teams will be Oklahoma State and what? TCU, right?
Yeah.
Those will be – maybe Kansas as well. Those will be the best teams in the conference.
Kansas State,
those will be the best team in the conference. You win your conference, you're going to be in the dance is all I'm going to say. That's the fun part about the 12. You take care of business in a power, I guess you can call it now, power four conference. You're in the dance. You are in the dance, plain and simple. If you are the winner or in the Pac-12s, or not the Pac-12, sorry. If you are in or the winner of the Big 12 championship, the SEC championship, Big 10, and the ACC championship, if you're in that game and you didn't fucking lose 3-4 games, then you're going to be in the playoff. That's the crazy thing, right? Because you'd be Ohio State, or you could be an Iowa school that has two or three losses, and you could still be a 12 seed if you make it a good game in the Big Ten championship. And yeah, it's going to change and things are going to be different. But I'm telling you, there's chances for some Cinderellas. There are some very big chances for some Cinderellas next year. And like I said, teams like Liberty, who went undefeated last year, who got their ass kicked by Oregon, they would have been in, and they would have lost by 50 to fucking Texas in the first round. But
Texas is never going to be back. Texas will never, ever, 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 good old school Chris Jericho, ever be back. Yeah, they will never be back.
I don't know if you want to bring up Chris Jericho on this podcast anymore after the recent allegations, is all I'm going to say. But I know. You're talking to a guy who watches wrestling again.
I watch wrestling. I just don't want to change from you.
No, I don't either, but I follow wrestling Twitter, and that's enough. All I know is Jinder Mahal's winning the World Heavyweight Championship is all I'll say. But yeah, look, the college football world as we know it, next year it's going to be something that you've never seen before. I hope everyone's fully prepared. I'm excited because this year showed what disparity can be, right? This year showed that there's really, in reality, there were 6-7 teams that could win it all this year. And Michigan was the one that ended up winning it all, but there was that disparity at the top. And unfortunately, we only had 4 teams fighting for it, but next year we'll have 12. And that should bring a smile to everyone's face.
I think so too. That's a good way to wrap up that segment. Now let's move over. We're going to break up the football a little bit. We are still going to reveal who won the regular season pick'em. We are going to make our picks for Super Wild Card Weekend. We're going to go round by round just to make sure that we get everything going there. Let's see. Cutter Gaultier. So we're moving over into hockey. U.S. recently did just win the World Juniors gold medal.
They Canada beat, lost in the quarterfinals, not even the semis. They didn't even
in the quarters. And
crazy. I was watching that. It was USA was dominant, and it was fun because
and they were playing the villain. They were playing the heel hard.
They were in Sweden, Jimmy. They were in Sweden playing Sweden in the gold medal game, blowing kisses to the crowd. I mean, I love it. I love it. I love it. I know you love it. It'd suck if it was Canada doing that to us, our own soil, but they didn't do it because they're more respectful. We're cocky motherfuckers. And like I said, you win that dominant fashion in the World Juniors and with that much talent. Yeah, look, I get it. Connor Bedard is not sitting up for Canada, even though he's 19 years old.
He got his face broken. It's not my fault he can't stay healthy.
Well, and he's in the NHL, and the NHL doesn't send their players unless they're in the minor leagues and in the lower levels. So I get it. I get it. Canada doesn't have the best players, but we had our best players, and that's what happened.
It means more to us. I thought this was your game. It means more to us. Fight me, bitch.
It does, unfortunately.
I challenge the entire country of Canada to fisticuffs. If you want to come down, you know the general area where I can be found. Come down here. My hands, they could reach across, you know, they could reach across the aisle. We can settle it that way. Canada, kick rocks. We won.
Lacrosse is all I'm going to say. So maybe that's true. Let's stick to it. But yeah, the World Juniors.
A little pissed off because that's why we're so cold, Nico. They saved all that cold air and they're releasing it to the rest of the continent.
Yeah, that happens, though. That happens. Global warming for you.
Shit happens, man. Shit happens. Cutter Gaultier, not only was he a star for the U.S. team in the World Juniors, he's made headlines now. He made headlines at the beginning of the season. He did not show up to the rookie camp for the Flyers.
I saw pictures of him in it. Maybe that was directly in pre-draft or something, but I know he didn't
show up to one and said that he needed to rest his body. He did go to the World Juniors tournament, but he's been very open and honest, like never wanted to play for Philadelphia, doesn't want to be a Flyer.
Was he open, though? Because he originally said, I am built for Philadelphia when he got drafted, and obviously things changed, but
You know what changed is that they have John Tortorella now, and he doesn't want to play for a guy that coaches like that. He doesn't want to play for a guy that will tell you you're wrong. He wants to play for a guy that's going to sit there and hold his hand and not yell at him.
Yeah, that's unfortunate where we're at. But look, I, as a Philadelphia hater on the show, the Flyers have no room to be like, we're holier than you. Because that is a shit franchise right now. It is one of the worst franchises in the National Hockey League.
And the fan base right now is making it – Philly's fan bases suck, but the fact that they're making death threats on Kevin Hayes and his family for being just mentioned in this story, he said he's not even involved. And his family, is like, they have his address, and they're sending him shit. They're like, I'm going to do this and this. People are fucking psychos.
It's one of the worst fan bases in all sports, of Philadelphia fans, unfortunately. And that's just where they are. Look at what they're doing to the Eagles. Look what they do to Embiid and the Sixers. Look what they're doing to the Flyers. The Phillies are the only team that – Philly's the only team I feel like that they love is because they're halfway relevant every single year as the other teams have been hot and cold. But, yeah, the Flyers have zero room to talk. It's like, if you don't want to play for us, then you're not going to play for us. I'm gonna tell you right now, Halfley don't want to fucking play for you. you don't have room to talk. This ain't the Boston Bruins. This ain't the Tampa Bay Lightning. This isn't the fucking Colorado Avalanche where, you know, if you don't want to wear the fucking little wheel with some wings behind it, then you don't fucking wear it. You don't have room to do any of this. Your team sucks. Your team's ass. You're right. No one should want to play for you because you're not good. You're not fucking good. Why would I ruin my career and go live in the shitty city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and have my ass ruined every single night for shit that I'm not even doing? And like I said, Kevin Hayes, perfect situation, right? He leaves on terrible terms with Tortorella, and the city loved him. The city loved him, right? He was the longest tenured Flyer. He played there for six, 8 years, whatever it was. And he leaves to St. Louis or wherever the hell it was. And the guy's gone for 2 years now, and you're fucking crucifying the guy because, oh, he said that Philadelphia sucks. You're okay. Not holier. Okay, yeah, he's not wrong. Yeah. It's unfortunate in Philadelphia. Did he lie? Is he wrong? Because he's not. The city sucks. The team sucks. They're not good. They're not. And they're not going to be. Even with Jamie Drysdale. If you're Connor Gauthier, I go to fucking – look. I go to Anaheim where, A, I get to live in California. Fucking sick. It's California, beautiful weather, nice people. Yeah, they have some fucking other – political problems, but that's not a conversation for this show. But go to California, you get to play with Zegras, Troy Terry, Logan, and all these young studs that the Ducks are piling up, and you face the Flyers twice a fucking year. Jimmy, they don't play the Flyers fucking four times a year like a team's in the East Conference. The kid's going to Anaheim where he's fucking playing them once a year in Philadelphia. That's the biggest win-win scenario I've ever seen. Biggest win-win scenario I've ever seen.
It's what both sides needed because Drysdale didn't want to be in Anaheim anymore. He'd been too injured. They'd been too hard on him. He wanted to be somewhere else. So why not? Why not make both sides happy? And I know that people are thinking that there's a big discrepancy in the talent level. It's basically player for player. Drysdale's older. That's pretty much the only thing. And guess what? Cutter Gaultier hasn't played a game in the NHL. So we don't know how good he's going to be. Or not be at this level. Is he going to be able to play in the show? Is he going to be a minors guy his whole life? I don't know.
It's even funnier because yeah, Gauthier is gone, but like you don't know what Gauthier is. You know what Drysdale is, and you get a second round pick to the back too, yeah. Right? They got Drysdale and a second round pick for Gauthier. It wasn't the other way around. So like I said, Philadelphia, you need to get off your high horse. And like I said, I'm sick and tired of hearing it because and be this and be that. Eagles this, Eagles that, tush, push, grace, play ever. I'm sick and tired of hearing Philadelphia talk this much shit for never doing anything, right? Yeah. You won an NFL championship 5-6 years ago. What was it? Maybe it might be 7 years now, 2017, 2018, whatever it was. You won a Super Bowl off of a backup quarterback.
And you, yeah.
And that is the only championship you have in a 60-year history. Let's not forget that, right? The only championship you have. And your team is holier than now. No, it's just so funny. It's just so funny. Like I said, there's nothing better than waking up in the morning and drinking my cup of coffee and pouring the city of Philadelphia's tears to sweeten my cup of coffee every single morning because of how salty they are over the littlest things. The littlest things. Like, come on. So funny.
They don't know what they're doing. Other than that, there's not been a ton. The Avs had a good stretch. I'm not going to lie. Haven't been paying too much attention to it. Been basically keeping up through podcasts.
Well,
when I have a game ability to be on.
The game that last night, we dominated the Vegas Golden Knights. It was a 3-0 showing. And look, I've been keeping track because – like I said,
I was paying attention to what Tate said because that surprised me that he had to come out and say something like that.
And since that moment, this team has played much, much better hockey, if I'm being honest with you. It took a little bit of a kick in the ass and played a starting step up. Drouin has been playing incredible hockey. Tatar, we traded him away. We're getting pieces now, the players that can fit into this mold. But the biggest problem right now, this team, in my opinion, still it's – Georgiev has been very inconsistent. He's had really, really good games. I mean, really top five goalie in the league games. And then he's also had five goal stinkers. It's the inconsistency, and maybe that's because he's a young goalie, and this is his first year getting every single every single puck thrown at him, or second year now, every single puck thrown at him where he's the guy. And maybe it takes a little bit of time to get used to, but he's been hot and cold, so I would love to see him be more consistent. I don't know, Jimmy, if you stumbled upon the Avalanche Twitter / or X, Avalanche X or Avalanche Instagram today, because there's a certain someone, and maybe someone that has a C on their chest that skated today is all I'm going to say. And you know,
way out. Don't you do this to me.
All I'm going to say is playoffs start in April, and we have one full month, two full months, three full months of a guy getting to skate and get
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Interesting is all I'm going to say.
Don't do that to me, Nico. Don't get my hopes up like that. It's not happening. They said not at all this year. Playoffs are nothing.
This season, no one said anything about that little playoff exception that the Tampa Bay Lightning love to use.
Get my hopes up. I can't. And if they rush him back and he has to miss more I want it so bad, but I just don't think that it's possible.
I know it's not, but he skated today. That is a massive sign. That is a massive sign is all I'm going to say. That is a massive sign. And look, I remember watching Jamal shoot jump shots for the first time after his ACL tear, and he was not moving around. He was stable shots. And to see those steps start to form, that's the most important thing. Because there was a risk at one point and a thought in our mind, Landy may retire. This is an injury not many players come back from. Seeing him back on the ice, trying it out, seeing what he can do, what he can do right now, what he can't do, that is a massive, massive, massive step. This is the Christmas gift that the Avs faithful wanted so badly. We probably want another forward, but you want Landy back skating. At minimum,
I could trade Elias. I could trade Elias Lindholm for Landeskog. I can live with that. I can learn how to live with that.
I wouldn't trade Landy for him, but I would.
No. I would be okay not trading for Elias Lindholm if I knew that Landeskog was going to be the addition.
But there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee, though. That's the only thing, like you said. And I would love Elias Lindholm still. So never know. And the conversation, though, and we have had this conversation, is would you give up Bo for him? Your defense is going to get much, much worse.
I don't know if I give up Bo, but I would be fishing Sammy G. I love Sammy G, and I'm glad that he's back with the team after dealing with his personal issues off the ice. But there's just so much talent and potential that I don't think that it's worth it. I don't think that it's worth it because what won us that Stanley Cup was the fact that our blue line, no matter who was out there, was very, very good and very talented and could add into the offense. I don't want to mess with that. I would be okay messing with it more with like Gerard,
or getting, and for that matter, getting a more of a depth piece for less out.
Yeah, I mean, another D-man as well. We could use another one.
You got to threaten Calgary because Calgary is in the shitter too right now. They are not a very, very good hockey team. And they've struggled too. You got to threaten them. Like, no, we're not, because you have all the cards. Elias Lindholm is a free agent this year. You talk to him and be like, all right, this is the best package you're going to get from us. And it's not Sammy G. It's not Bowen Byram. It's fucking somebody in minor leagues and probably a Noonan for who cares. I don't know.
So goalie back goalie. Makar, not Kale, his brother, because he's
MyCAR. just don't, like
my car.
And I think Joe and I think Chris know that too. He's like, we're not breaking the fold. We're adding. We're retooling. We're not fucking breaking the fold. And I think trading Bo, probably trading Sammy G would do that. So, and I think they're smart enough not to.
And I think the last thing before we get into our picks for Super Wildcard Weekend, and I revealed to you all the hellacious comeback that was in the FEB OTB football and NFL pick'em. Nate Dogg is the Hart. He should be the Hart winner. He's the best player in the league, and he should be the league's MVP this year. Doesn't matter what anybody else is going to try and argue. That dude, when he has the puck on his stick, is absolutely lethal. And I love when the kid from, I think it was it Vancouver, tried to run him at the offensive blue line, and Nate crunches him and then is standing over the top of him like, what? I thought you were going to bring it. What? Like, oh, Jesus. I just hit that guy as hard as I could, and he just got back up and yelled at me.
He's the best player in hockey right now. And look at McDavid this, McDavid that. McDavid's team is not winning. Nathan McKinnon's team is winning constantly every single night. And he's the best player on that team. So there's our doubt. And look, I don't know if you saw this statistic. I thought it was very interesting. I can't remember. It was after the New Year's. I think it was around January 4th or 5th, somewhere around there. But it was the first time since 2018 that two teams from the same city hit a game winner on the same night. I don't know if you saw that. Jokic hit that Hail Mary buzzer beater three that sent the tears in the Tyler and Fatboy fadeaway and after losing an 18-point lead in the last 6 minutes of the game, they're still not over that. They got real salty at me for that after rubbing in their faces for that. And then you had McKinnon game winner in overtime over, I think it was Winnipeg, or I'm not sure who it was. It was Dallas, where they were down 5-4 and they tied it and then they won it overtime. That's the first time two game winners have happened in the same night from the same city since the Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche. Gary Harris game winner against Oklahoma City, I want to say, and I think it was a Mikko Rantanen goal back in 2018. I forgot who the Avalanche goal, but I remember the Nuggets played very, very familiar with that one way back when we were still in the shitter. But yeah, it's look, who's got it better than us, Jimmy? Maybe Michigan.
There's not been very many people who had it better.
When it comes to not talking about football, we have two of the best teams in each sport, yes. and two of the biggest.
And we root
world,
for so. The correct teams and not have to care about football at this point because.
Sure.
And we fucked my team fucked ourselves for the draft pick. I know your team kind of did too, but man. Ugh. One game.
Before we get into pick 'em, I think we should do a state of the address for each of our teams because I have some thoughts. And I'll let you start because your team probably is a lot better off than mine. That's all I'm going to say. So I'll let you have your state of the address with Cincinnati Bengals because both our teams, not in the playoffs, first time since literally the first year of our show.
First 2 seasons that we were both under 500.
So we're going to talk about playoff football without Jimmy's team in it because my team has not been in the playoffs since we started the show. So I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, Jimmy, but give me your State of the Union address.
Honestly, this was a season, not that you wanted, but it's a season that you can learn and take from. And we learned that the coaching staff wasn't the magicians that they looked like Joe Burrow was making these coaches look otherworldly. Jesse Bates on the defensive side was making the coaches look otherworldly when you don't have those really high end players and you have to try and make up for it in other ways. Not to say that they're not still a good team. I love what the team has done development wise. The fact that we were still in contention for a playoff spot, losing Joe Burrow and having to play Jake Browning for as many weeks as we did. He could probably start for the bottom third of the league. He could start for Carolina, probably win more than two games. If you want him, Nico, I think he's going to be a little bit too expensive for us to pay for a backup. He could.
I mean, it's going to be way – unless you want to take the veteran minimum, I don't think we're going to be able to pay him, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, your team, I forgot about your State of the Union. Everybody needs to be healthy, and for the love of everything – that I hold dear, play your players in the preseason, Zach Taylor. This whole not play them so that they don't get hurt later on actually does the opposite. And it's been proven, but you continue to not look at this. You continue to have it right in front of your face and you just push them, pull them, do something. You go right past them. And when you do that, you're leaving people out to dry. Me in particular. I don't like that. Be the coach that you need for the team that's on the field. Don't coach like, oh, well, I need to be perfect because everybody expects me to be perfect. I don't care. Just be a good coach. You don't have to be the best coach in the league. Players can make up for some of that.
And to help your case out, Jimmy, like you look at the healthiest teams this year. They're the best teams in football. The Baltimore Ravens, one of the most healthiest teams in the league. The Dallas Cowboys, one of the most healthiest teams in the league. The San Francisco 49ers, one of the most healthiest teams in the league. Unfortunately or fortunately, you know this very well, the Bengals, when you made that Super Bowl run, were very, very healthy. Very healthy. And that's a kudos to the training staff. This is why when you win a Super Bowl, it's one of the most difficult championships out there. Because it takes luck. It does take luck. It takes health. And it takes good talent. It's not – you can have one of three. You can have two of three. If you don't have all three, you're not going to win a Super Bowl. That's the unfortunate part. And fortunately, the health bug was your team, because you had a good – like I said, for the most part, I think your team performed very, very well. You trained very well. Your team was stuck and had a playoff chances with Jake Browning as your quarterback for half the year, and that's something to build upon. But obviously with Joe Burrow and Joe Burrow getting paid here shortly, and then Ja'Marr Chase getting paid here shortly, it means there's going to be new personnel. That's even more pressure on the draft, and to get more depth guys to find next studs, because now we can fade that into my team. I think there isn't a more important NFL draft than this upcoming one for the Denver Broncos. There is not. Because look, all I'm going to say to start is I did call Jared Sidham starting. That's all I'm going to say. I did.
You did.
I said, and I quote, if the Broncos do not take care of business against the New England Patriots, that there's a very good chance we see what Stidham is made of for the last 2 weeks. And I know what Russell Wilson did. I know what he did. I know that he was barren last year. I'm not paying $500 million 8-year contract for Russell Wilson to fucking do that every year, okay? I'm not. Plain simple. If we're giving out $550 million for that kind of production, then you've lost your fucking mind. And I get that he maybe had better numbers than Patrick Mahomes. There is no apples to apples between the two. There's zero apples to apples. And it's funny because arguably you could say he was the second best quarterback in this division this year, because Justin Herbert didn't play half the year either, right? And Aiden O'Connell played half the year, right? So you could argue and say he was the second most consistent quarterback in this division. And let alone this team is just finding ways to shoot itself in the fucking foot every chance they can get.
All the time. That's their favorite activity.
Every single
time. I like to blow my left toe off first.
Look, first of all, under no circumstances do you tell a guy after beating a rival for the first time in 17 games that, hey, you're going to need to remove this from your contract and we're going to bench you after beating the Chiefs.
Yeah, this was an oopsie. You should make money.
I mean, like, I don't care if Russ is fucking Tom Brady himself. You don't tell a guy that. You do not tell a guy that's leading your team out there every day, because he's going to lose faith in you. The team's going to lose faith in the organization, and everything's going to change. But the problem with this team is, and this is what I said before the season started, and I was hoping that this went away after that 5-game winning streak that we went on. This team has a losing mentality. Justin Simmons, Garrett Bowles, Cortland Sutton, the guys who have been here for 3+ years that have been on the team, Josie Jewell, they have a loser's mentality. This team, together with this uniform on, which we are getting new uniforms, apparently is what I've been told, which I hope for the best, because I pray to God some of the rumors are terrible. But this team with this uniform on and that helmet on cannot produce winning seasons. You look across the league, right? Look at teams that tore it down and rebuilt everything, right? Jimmy's Cincinnati Bengals. Andy Dalton led them to the playoffs. What was it, 2016, 2017?
2015, 2016.
Tore it down. Said, fuck it, we're starting over. I don't care. Andy Dalton, you're done. We're going to go start AJ McCarron. They landed Joe Burrow. Philadelphia Eagles. They win a Super Bowl. As much shit as I talk about them, they win a Super Bowl. They fire Doug Peterson. They get rid of Nick Foles. They get rid of Carson Wentz. They draft Jalen Hurts the second round. Start over. Top team in football. You look at teams across the league. Detroit Lions. Matthew Stafford for fucking 12 years. Number one in QBR. Number one passing yards. Number one touchdowns. Best quarterback your franchise probably will ever have. And you start it over and look where they're at now. Green Bay fucking Packers, Jimmy. Start over. Get rid of Aaron Rodgers. They make the playoffs still. You have to fucking reset. There's zero resetting. It's been 7-8 years now where you're just thinking, you know what, we can make the playoffs. No. No. There was a thought this year that you could do it. And look, that's a kudos to Sean Payton and the hell of a coaching job he did this year. That is a kudos to him getting this team in a chance. For the last 3 weeks of the season, where you just had it wasn't a big chance, but it was a small chance that you had to make the playoffs. There was a chance. And like I said, this team has some major, major question marks, because you look, if you caught Russell Wilson, which all signs are pointing to it, you're going to have to get rid of a lot of players. because guys like Garrett Bowles, guys like Jerry Jeudy, guys like Courtland Sutton, Justin Simmons, you're not going to have cap room to throw at them. They're going to walk to free agency, unfortunately, and they're going to be good players on good teams wherever they land up, unfortunately. But if you look at the landscape of the NFL, Jimmy, you look at the landscape of the NFL, this playoffs has showed me something. Something showed me something massive, 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 massive. You don't have to have a top five quarterback to be a playoff team. To win a Super Bowl, you do. But to be a playoff team, you don't. Joe Flacco is in the playoffs. C.J. Stroud as a rookie. I'm saying C.J. Stroud because it's very, very raw. C.J. Stroud as a rookie is in the playoffs. Baker Mayfield is in the playoffs. You look at the list of quarterbacks in the playoffs, you're like, holy fuck. Half of these guys played for us, right?
I mean, everybody's had a shot. Yeah.
I mean, fuck. It's hilarious.
If only you can get Joe Flacco in the building, that ought to do something. Oh, wait.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's just so fucking funny. It's just so funny because, like I said, Sean Payton has to realize something. And look, Russell Wilson is never going to win here in Denver. I said that before the season, and he did, and he proved me wrong when he went on a five-game stretch, but then he proved me right by fucking losing to the Patriots at home. When you used to come to Denver, Colorado, you sell the altitude. It was a daunting task. You come in Denver, it's a fucking, oh, here we go, baby. It's time to fucking come down to Walmart and take whatever we want from these suckers because there's no home field advantage. And right now, season ticket holders are selling their tickets to opposing fans because they don't love the product you put out there for 8 years. Look, it's bad. It's very, very bad. And look, this draft is the biggest draft in Broncos history. It really is because I don't know if you draft a quarterback in the first round. I don't, but the question has to come up if McCarthy and Penix are there in the second round. And the only quarterback I would take in the first round with where we're at would be Jaden Daniels. That's the only guy if he falls. I would not take Penix at 14. I would not take McCarthy at 14. They are not fucking worth the 14th overall pick. At all. That is a massive reach. Jaden Daniels is the only guy that if he slides down, which he probably won't, would be the guy at 14. Because I believe it's Williams, May, and Jaden Daniels, and then everybody else. Because McCarthy is not going to lead a team. I don't think both. And look, Michael Penix, great talent, great arm, hell of a freaking showing in the playoff. The guy is 24 years old, and he has an injury past. I'm not taking that gamble on him. In the first round, I'm not, unfortunately. So in that first round, you probably need to get more talent, and maybe that's receiver position, maybe that's trading Jerry Jeudy, maybe that's trading Courtland Sutton, but you need to accumulate assets, and you need to hit on this draft more than you've ever done before. And or else, like I said, it's weird saying this, Jimmy. I know I'm going to get a lot of backlash for this. You're going to lose the city, and you're going to lose the city because the city has embraced hockey, embraced basketball. You have 8 years of this type of football product you're putting out in the fall. People like myself, people at season ticket holder, Broncos season ticket holders are looking at season tickets for the Colorado Avalanche and Denver Nuggets. Plain and simple. And that's weird saying that because of the season ticket list for the Broncos is a fucking million people long. And you're losing the city. You're losing the fucking city when you lose at home to the fucking Patriots, to the fucking Jets, to these fucking terrible teams, and you have no fucking heart for the heart, the horse in your head, and the Broncos across your chest. You have no fucking heart for the city. That's what this team has. Yeah, Justin Simmons may have it, Courtland Sutton have it, but that's two guys out of 22 guys that play on the field. Look, it's sickening. It's sickening way to the end of the season, and I don't know what's going to happen. I really have no idea what's going to happen this offseason. I would not be surprised if Russ comes back. I would not be surprised if Russ got cut. I would not be surprised if we draft a quarterback. I would not be surprised if we trade Jeudy, trade Sutton, trade Simmons. At this point, nothing's surprising anymore, and I'm just enjoying basketball and hockey season.
Yeah, well, that's where I'm at too. That's why we'll mention quickly – Bill Belichick no longer going to be coaching the Patriots. Mike Vrabel gets fired. Arthur Smith gets fired. Pete Carroll's not going to be
head scratch I've ever seen.
I guess they're of the mind that they need a full reset. Antonio Pierce was not asked to be back. I guess he's in the interview. He could be in the interview process, but he's not going to be awarded the head coaching position. Black Monday lives up to its name. A couple ones were just kind of unfortunate, and the teams didn't really help out the coach. But we're here. Super wild card weekend.
It's a progeny. There's a lot of stories. As our boy Terrell said, there's a lot of big time storylines. A lot. And just to recap, we have Matty Stafford going back to Detroit. We have Mike McCarthy going or playing his former team who won a Super Bowl with. We have Deshaun Watson returning to – oh, sorry, shoot. I probably shouldn't say that part. But we have a lot of storylines of returns in the Super Wild Card Weekend.
Yes, and before we get into the picks, Nico, it was a fight. It was a fight, and it was a season-long struggle. Because that three-point difference that you had at the beginning, it just stood there. It was haunting me, and it almost got me back. And it's going to make me sick to say this. So this is why it's okay for you the Ravens are the ones that, yes, I won.
You won. I was going to say,
the Ravens are the reason why I was able to pull it off. If I didn't go opposite of you on those games, if I would have picked where my heart was and if I would have gone against the Ravens, I would have conceded for the fourth year in a row. I finally can call myself
the football guy. You deserve it, Jimmy. I'll say this. You deserve it. My end of the year, I had 2 weeks where I went 0-5. I should have never won. I did not deserve it. You deserve it. I had no fucking right to be in the fucking conversation for winning this. Luckily, I'm good at trivia, and that's the only reason why it kept me afloat and kept me alive for this long. But you did a hell of a job picking games this year. You ran away.
There's a lot of work in the draw.
You ran away with it big time. I will say, I lost that, but I won the college football pick'em, and you're looking at a fantasy football champion.
Oh, you won! Jake Browning did it for you.
I did not start Jake Browning. I started. Who the fuck start?
Tommy Donuts did it for you.
No, I lost that league. I was in two championships. Who was my starter? Fuck. Oh, I had fucking Rudolph. I started Rudolph last time. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
So bad.
I know. I had Rudolph in that league, and I had fucking Howell didn't play. Fuck, this is gonna bother me. All I'll say is the quarterbacks did not win me this league. I had Puka. I had Deebo Samuel. I had Stephon Diggs. I had Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, Evan Ingram, DeAndre Swift on my bench. And then I had Trevor Lawrence, who fucking was a dud. I didn't even start him at the end of the year. And I had – look, my team was unbelievable. And it's a dynasty league. So this is my team next year too, baby. And with my win, I got a jersey. So I got myself – this jersey's been on my radar for 4 years now, 3 or 4 years. I finally got me a Nordiques jersey. I got the McKinnon one throw reverse retro. So I got that one on the way for me. So I'm very, very excited. But, yeah, fantasy – football fucking champion. And look, I don't get many places to boat about this, and I'm going to here because I have a voice and it's my show too. It's half of my show, but I can say this. Man, I've won two championships, fantasy football championships in my career. One was my original University of Augustana College fantasy football league, which I won nothing, which was fucking sick. And then this one. So I'm like I said, it's a beautiful year. It's a beautiful year.
It's hard to say that it's not. Super Wild Card Weekend kicking things off. We're going in chronological order. So the first game on Saturday, it's the normal slot where the Texans always are when they make the playoffs. CJ Stroud, D'Amico Ryans, host Joe Flacco, and the Cleveland Browns. The Browns are 2-point favorites on the road. Do you fear the rookie quarterback? Are you going Browns because of it? Are you going Texans because, come on, it's Joe Flacco. And he got a week to rest, and now he's all tightened back up. He's not loose anymore. He's going to make a mistake at some point. Don't make it be in the playoffs. Who do you got in the first matchup of the playoffs?
I'll say I love this Texas team. I really do. I think this is the team that could run that division. And I thought it was going to be the Jaguars, but they obviously had the colossal ending to their season. So – I am a believer in CJ Stroud. I'm a believer in D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans was my number one coach that I wanted for the Broncos last offseason because I know he's going to get that team ready to play every single damn week and believing that they're going to win. There's not a coach left, and maybe there is, but more sustained and ready to lead a team than D'Amico Ryans. And the problem with this is you're facing the number one defense in football, or number one, number two, however you want to see it, defensive football in the Cleveland Browns. And like you said, it's a rookie quarterback. It's CJ Stroud. Nico Collins, Tank. I don't think Tank Dell's injured.
Tank Dell was injured. Will Anderson Jr.
Will Anderson Jr. A bunch of young guys. It's scary. It's scary. And Joe Flacco's been here, done that. He's been here and done that. But it's a different world, Jimmy. And look, I'm gonna go Houston. I cannot. I think the first home playoff game for Houston since what, 2018, 2019, that second year Deshaun Watson, whatever it was. And it's funny that Deshaun's walking back into that arena. And look, it's a trade that both sides, Houston's much better off for it, and Cleveland probably wish they probably could have never done. But I'm gonna go Houston, getting this mini rivalry. I'll call it mini rivalry because of everything that's going on between these two teams. And I'll take the Texans. I just don't trust that the Browns offense with Joe Flacco literally being the head of the snake in the year 2024. I just don't believe it. I really don't believe it. If they had Nick Chubb, if they had some better receivers, I'd consider it. But I think that the Texans defense is going to be able to hold Joe Flacco, and they're going to beat the Browns.
I'm going with the Browns because the defense is going to absolutely tighten down. Houston's not going to be able to do anything, and I think Myles Garrett, that defense is going to score points. That's what they did when they blew out the Jets. That's what they do when they've won all the games with Flacco. And I see them losing next week when the Browns have to go to the Ravens. I mean, that might even be a better matchup for them. But I think the Browns have a really nice chance to win this game. Just a reminder for the playoffs, each game this round that we get correct is plus 5 points. If we don't get it right, then it's nothing. But if we get it correct, then we get a plus 5. So each game that we get correct will be added up in a point total. Next round will be worth 10, but Super Wildcard Weekend's worth 5. Dolphins at Chiefs. This is Tyreek's first time going back to Arrowhead since being traded. They did play, but that was in Germany. The Chiefs are 5-point favorites. They ended the season with a win against it was the Chargers, right? The Chargers were the last game they played. The hockey stick wasn't able to do it against them. Travis Kelce didn't play. There's a lot of things that people have said about the Chiefs all year, but the Dolphins, I think, are the bigger story because they could have been the one seed. They had to do is win one, but they were playing the Ravens.
Oh, yeah, 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. They played the Ravens, got their asses kicked, could have solidified the 2 seed last week, got beat up in Buffalo. So now, I mean, actually got beat up at home by Buffalo, not even beat up in Buffalo. And now you're going to have to deal with Kansas City in January. It ain't going to be fun.
Look, it's not fun for anybody. I don't know if you saw the weather. It's going to be a smack in the fucking face is all I'm going to say. If you're Mike McDaniel, you put that team into a practice bubble, you turn the temperature down to fucking negative 20 degrees and you practice. That's all I'm going to say. Because I don't think you're prepared. They're prepared for the cold, crisp, negative 10 degree weather they're about to face in Kansas City. Because they are saying, and obviously we're recording this on Thursday and live on Thursday, that Sunday, or this is game Saturday, right? Saturday, it's going to be Saturday the cold. Night. They're predicting it's going to be the coldest playoff game in NFL history.
No, that's another thing they steal from the damn Bengals. Damn it.
They're predicting it. There's no guarantee, but they're predicting it could be that bad. Because the cold chill right now over the Rocky Mountains is not sunny Miami, Florida, is all I'm going to say. And they fucked themselves because they had to lead that game in the first half, and they blew it. Buffalo Bills said, no, sir, we're still the Buffalo Bills, and no one circles a wagon like Buffalo Bills, and we're still them. And we're going to host a team at home instead of you, and you're going to have to go to cold, crisp fucking Kansas City. That's all they said. That was little brother syndrome in its finest. And look, I'm not saying the Bills are the big boys of the Dolphins because they're about even because the alpha of the division was the Patriots for so long, and now it's kind of like, who knows. But they big brother them so bad. They said, we're going to beat you in your home stadium, and you're going to go fly to Kansas City on January 12th, and you're going to like it. We're going to go home and sleep in our own beds, and you're going to go freeze in the frozen tundra of Kansas City. Dolphins is zero chance in this game. I would love nothing. I want the Dolphins to win this game. Plain and simple. I want the Dolphins. I will be rooting the Dolphins because if you're a Broncos fan, you do not root for the Chiefs, Raiders, or Chargers' success. Plain and simple. So I will be rooting for the Dolphins, but like I said, I like winning pick'ems. This is how I won the college football pick'em. So I will be going with the Chiefs because I do not see a world where Tua's hands don't freeze up. And when, like I said, when the weather gets cold, it gets harder to catch the rock solid ball. Pause. Much harder to hold on to that rock solid ball. So give me the Chiefs.
I'm gonna go with the Chiefs as well. I can't talk myself out of it. I want the Dolphins to do well, but they just totally.
We will both for listeners out there. We picked Chiefs, but we both will be wearing our Dolphins go Dolphins hats proudly. Is all I'm gonna say.
I still hate the Dolphins. I still don't like the Dolphins. I also hate this team. So everybody knows I'm picking the Bills. Nothing more to say. Also the Steelers.
I feel like you don't like the Bills either. I feel like the Bills be a team that it's just
the Bills are like a mutual respect thing because we saved one of their players, like legitimately saved his life. It happened in Cincinnati, so I can be okay with them. I hate the fact that the Steelers have only ever had to have three head coaches. Nothing pisses me off more. And it happened again. It always happens. He's always over 500, and that's why we always suck. That's why our seasons always suck. It sucks.
It's enjoyable for the first part of the year, and then you realize, oh, fuck, Mike Tomlin turns into fucking prime MJ when it comes to making sure his team doesn't go below 500. It doesn't matter if it's Mason Rudolph on Christmas Eve running out there. It doesn't matter if it's Kenny Pickett, fucking Big Ben Roethlisberger. It doesn't matter who it is. They will always make sure that they're above 500. And like I said, Steelers fans don't understand what pain is. They really don't. They understand. Them and the Green Bay Packers, it's just unfair. And if one of us was a Vikings, or your girlfriend probably thinks this way, but if you're a Vikings fan or a Lions fan or a fucking Bears fan, I'd hate the snot out of the Packers too. And that's how unfortunate Jimmy feels with the Steelers. And I hated the Steelers too for a very long time. And now I just don't care about them at all. It's just really not that big of a deal because the Broncos are incompetent. So I'm gonna go with the Bills. They're a way better team. Way better team. Way better team. Steelers, congratulations. You got another week. You delayed your vacation for another week. go enjoy the frozen tundra of Buffalo and get your ass kicked.
It's a good matchup for the Bills. It's a better matchup than what they would have had. And honestly, I think the Dolphins probably enjoyed that one a little bit more too. I don't know how that would have gone if Miami had to try and host them. Packers, Cowboys. Cowboys, a lot of people have been saying, are the most likely to be upset. There's a lot of talk going on. I mean, Mike McCarthy doesn't know how to control a clock. So with that, I'm going to have to take a swing here. I'm picking Green Bay.
I like it. Low key, I like it. I do like that pick. I will say I'm not going against Cowboys. I'm not. I really can't. This is going to bite me in the ass. But every time a Texas football team thinks that they're back, they're just never back. And if the Cowboys have to believe that they have the second best chance of coming out of the NFC, and rightfully so. It's because the 49ers and then it's them, in my opinion. And if they don't believe that, then they've already mistaken themselves because they're one of the most healthy teams on the defense side of the ball, one of the most healthiest teams on the offense side of the ball. You're facing the Packers who have a first-year starter quarterback who's never started a playoff in his career and one of the youngest teams in the league. Let's not forget, the Packers are one of the most youngest teams in the league, so they are set up for, fortunately, sorry, the NFC North fans, lots of success. It is going to be a travesty if they lose this game. And look, it's funny because this is I think today or yesterday was the 5-6 year anniversary of the catch, or not the catch, but was it a catch? Was it a Dez's catch? Was it a catch with Dez's catch in Dallas? So, or sorry, in Lambeau, where Dallas went to Lambeau, and Cowboys felt like they could have won Super Bowl that year, but they didn't, and they lost. I think the Cowboys get their revenge. I'm gonna go Cowboys. I hope they prove me wrong. I hope they prove me wrong.
I'm glad. We can't be the same on all of them. We can be the same on some of them. We can't be the same on all of them. That brings us to Sunday Night Football, and it's the one where, I mean, it's Sunday Night Football for a reason. This is where the storylines lie.
Very rarely do you get to see a game that means this much, because it's the first playoff game being played in Detroit for 30 years. That's being played in the city of Detroit for 30 years. And it is teams that have traded their what was once thought of their franchise quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford from Detroit, Jared Goff from LA. They are playing against each other. We're going to get to see it play out live. Who won the trade? That's what this game should be called. Who won the trade? Because first of all, whoever wins,
the Rams won the trade. Unless the Lions win the Super Bowl, the Rams won the trade. There's zero doubts about who won the trade. I don't think that this has anything to do with that. It's because the Rams won the Super Bowl. That's the end of it. Lions win the Super Bowl, we can have a conversation with Jared Goff. But man, this hurts. This hurts, man. I am one of the biggest believers in Detroit football. I am one of the biggest believers in Detroit football. I love the little engine that could. I really do. I love Dan Campbell and how he has those boys playing. But you know it hurts. You know it hurts seeing Stafford over there. Because you know, I would say 95, probably more, percent of Lions fans rooted for the Rams to win the Super Bowl 2 years ago because of Stafford. They all rooted for him because they knew, you know what, we didn't do enough for you. We're sorry. Go win it. You're on your own. And that's one of the worst feelings, right? When you know that, you know what, you gave our all to us and we didn't do it in return. Go win somewhere else. And they do. It's one of the worst feelings. One of the worst feelings.
I didn't mean it literally.
It's one of the worst feelings. But, man, if you don't believe in the Detroit Lions, I don't know if you can believe anymore, because Dan Campbell will have these boys fired up. Fired up. And I trust the Detroit Lions more than the Rams. It's weird saying that, but I do. The problem where it lies is, can Detroit slow down Puka and Cooper Kupp? Because I think that they can put up points on this defense. Because I think their offensive line is much more improved. And I think it can slow down, not stop, slow down and manage Aaron Donald. This is not the same pass rush that they had when they won the Super Bowl. Obviously, Vaughn's gone. Leonard Floyd's gone. It's a much different defense. Jalen Ramsey's gone. Much, much different defense 2 years ago. Much difference. And I think that the Lions have a little bit of it's our fucking time attitude. I really, really do. I'm going to go Detroit here. And it's more because I want to see it. Because like I said, look, I want to I hate saying it like this, but I won an NBA championship last year. And it was a little train that could, all right? Never thought we'd be able to win the big one, but we did, okay? We did win an NBA championship. You can put that ticker up there for the first time in 2024. I know you still got it. So, I really, 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 really want the Lions to make a run. I hope that they beat them. Are they the 4 seed or the 3 seed?
The Lions are the 3 seed.
3 seed. So that means that they probably face Dallas. And man, if that played out that way, boy, that's a Detroit Lion playoff run. The world would not be ready for it, is all I'm going to say. And Michigan is already on top of the world, right? The state of Michigan football is never highest than it has been. Wolverines got the monkey off their back. Why not the Lions turn? So give me the Lions.
I think that it's going to be too big of a moment. And it's going to come down to who do I trust more to manage a game when it gets tight and when it gets down to it in the playoffs. I love the call from Dan Campbell a couple weeks ago against Dallas. I know that they should have won it. I know it was blown by the officials. It scares the shit out of me that he might do something like that in the playoffs. And that's not the right call to do in the playoffs. If you're trying to win, if you want to make a statement in some regular season game, cool. I can get behind that. You go for it. I like it. Show your balls. Don't show your balls in the playoffs. Keep those things tucked away because you got to play smart. You got to be able to take points. You got to be able to do those little things. Sean McVay's done that, and he did it very well. I know it firsthand. Broke my heart. Absolutely. Aaron Donald drove the knife that he was using during his offseason training through my heart and killed me that year, but they're good. They know how to win in the playoffs. I'm going with the Rams.
I do not hate it. Puka, like I said, Puka won me a fucking fantasy football championship. So I was this close to getting a Puka jersey just for the hell of it, because what Puka did for me. And I don't doubt this offense for LA at all. It really is the game of the week, I think. I'm so excited for that game. That is the game I'm circling and be like, I have to watch every second of this game. I have to.
Last game, Monday Night Football. Last Monday Night Football game that we'll have this year. With Troy and Joe Buck. Eagles favored by 3 after losing 4 of their last 5 down the stretch, getting absolutely trounced by
the New York Giants of all teams in week 18.
The Tyrod Taylor, not even the Paisano. Yeah, it's Tyrod Taylor.
Paisano hasn't played for a few weeks. I didn't want to have to bring that up. Paisano's been out of the lineup. It's better for everybody. Don't worry about it. No, I think what we have to acknowledge is that it's the three-time defending NFC South champion Bucks. They're now won the division three seasons in a row. So, the NFC East is the only division in the last 10 years to not have a back-to-back repeat champion from one year to the next. They keep with that trend. The Eagles, I want to say that I'm nervous about it. I want to say that Baker's going to get things done. I look at this the way that I looked at when Tom Brady was in Tampa Bay and Washington tried to go in and cause the upset. I trusted Tom Brady to be able to win a one-and-done scenario. I think I trust the Eagles to be able to wipe away the last 5 weeks of absolute sadness and misery and clean the slate. Like, you can – this is a great time to go, hey, all of that shit that we've been carrying around for the last 5 weeks, just dump it all. Whether it was good, whether it was bad, just knock it all off and let's go out there. It's the start of a new season. We got to win 4 road games. You win 4 road games, you're world champions. That's got to be the mindset right now if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan or if you're a Philadelphia Eagles player. I think I'm going Eagles. I'm leaning Birds, going with Rocky, sticking with my gut. That's what my gut is telling me.
I shit on the city of Philadelphia so bad earlier. So bad. But I don't know if you saw the score. Where is it? Hold on, I got to find it. The score of the Buccaneers game where they had the playoffs on the line against the worst team in football, the Carolina Panthers. They won that football game 9-0, Jimmy. They didn't score a touchdown. the last game of the year, playoff chances on the line, and they score 9 points and they win. I mean, look, it's not a kudos to the defense that the Panthers got goose egged, okay? It's a kudos to how terrible the Panthers were. Okay, playing simple. They're going to beat them. The Eagles are going to win. The Eagles are going to win this game. I would love to be proved wrong, and I would love to see the downfall for Philadelphia even more because the city doesn't deserve a champion. I cannot sit here and tell people to pick the fucking Buccaneers after they scored 9 fucking points against the worst team in the league. 9 points. Yes, that's they were fair. On the road. Yes, they were on the road. But 9 points with the playoffs on the line. The division wasn't locked up. No. There was still a chance they didn't make the playoffs. They had to win and in. And they scored 9 points against the worst team in the league. Eagles are going to win this football game. Stop. And for people thinking that the Buccaneers are going to win this game, stop overthinking it. You're overthinking that the Eagles suck. Yeah, they're not as good as they were at the beginning of the year or, heck, even last year. But they're not as bad as the worst team in the best team for the worst division of football. They're not as bad as them. They'll come to their end next round, but not this round.
I think it's fair enough. I think they're going to go to Dallas, and Dallas is going to have to beat Philly in the next round if that's the way that it'll work out. A lot of good stuff from this episode. We're kind of wrapping things up here. Episode 167, we're back and in action. We're going to be having these episodes. They drop every Thursday. We'll normally record them a little bit earlier in the week, but since we're coming back from break, we wanted to be live. We wanted to be as up-to-date as possible with playoff news. We wouldn't have had the news about Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll if we would have recorded early. Amen. So I'm glad we decided to hang out a little bit and go live Thursday. You'll be able to listen to the replay on all podcasting platforms tomorrow morning. You'll be able to go back, watch the replay of the YouTube video. Be sure to subscribe, tell a friend, follow at FEOTB Pod. Check out the Variety Sports Network. We're going to be having John from Out of Your Falcon Mind on Talking the Gridiron this Sunday on the Variety Sports Network. And I've been on Sunday Morning Tailgate over the past couple of weeks. So we got a lot of stuff planned for this weekend. And there's going to be a lot of different fan bases getting to air some grievances because Zarin's a Raiders fan. So we're going to have to hear from him. He doesn't even refer to his owner by his name. He refers to him as the haircut.
And look, I went on their show, I think it was right before the new year or something along those lines, or maybe it was right before recording our last episode. But yeah, I love those guys over there. Fortunately, the Denver Nuggets, or fortunately, Denver Nuggets have won two in a row and over them. So Denver Nuggets are still, it's 2024, Jimmy, and the Denver Nuggets are still world champions. But hey, we have played football, so it's time to move on to bigger, better things. But the Denver Nuggets are still world champions, so suck on that.
All right.
Golden State, LA, suck on it.
Suck on that. That's a good way to end it. For myself, Jimmy Pilato, my co-host, Nico Bryant, episode 167 of the Far End of the Bench podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in live. Be sure to check out the replay. We will see you guys next week.
Peace.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.